This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The magic carpet ride for the Pacers is not over. They'll play for an NBA title on Sunday night in Game 7.
Oh, you went with ESPN, not the Indiana snoozer call.
Yeah, because it was a snoozer.
And the Pacers were forced Game 7.
If you want it, I'll pull it, but it's bad, dude.
Yeah, go ahead and grab it. Right. Good morning, Metroplex. We are live with the... It's not a Monday. Kind of feels like a Monday. Bobby and I were talking during the commercial break. It's the Friday edition of Sean and RJ here on DFW Sports Station 105.3. The Fan. Got the entire morning squad with you, Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy. We got Roberto and Peyton running things, and you're sitting in a different chair.
I don't like this. This is all like it's really setting in for me how much I don't like it right now. This is too close. That's the perfect distance for us to be apart from each other. But it looks like somebody, I don't know who, but I believe whoever would have been sitting there last night after Rangers, broke my microphone. I'm going to call it my microphone because that's where I sit. But broke the microphone, and it is literally just dangling off. Tried to switch it out with the other one over there, but Chop was like, nope, it's bolted in. We can't move it.
It is bolted in, man. And my hands, my grip strength doesn't work at 6 a.m. You know, I need to get going through the day before before my grip really starts to work. So I'm not able to undo that bolt. Maybe by 9 o'clock we'll get that thing taken care of.
It wasn't Chris Arnold.
No, Chris sat where you did.
Touchdown.
He sat right where you did, and he did not. But I'll tell you, Chris had the fan text.
Liddy,
very Liddy. They were very excited to hear from Chris Arnold yesterday.
Was he in that black chair back there that looks super uncomfortable to sit by? Up next to the Wheel of Misfortune.
Yeah, I see it. I don't know.
He
don't
sits
think
in that
so.
Chair. He will stand sit. He'll like lean back and sit in it because he's like,
it's
my
like
back.
A stiff bar stool.
Yeah, he's like, for my back, I got to kind of. He like lays at an incline and hosts like that most of the time.
I would have recognized that. I didn't notice that one. I don't think
he got his
he
back
was.
Fixed. That's good.
Maybe he did.
For the first time since 2016, we will have a Game 7 in the NBA Finals as Indiana rolled from beginning to end. They end up winning by 17, and it wasn't even that close. Pacers W.
Yeah, that I think we all agree that was pretty unexpected. Like when Indiana's going to win games in this series, it was like they're going to win the close, grinded out games. And when the Thunder are going to win, they're just going to be the better team, and they're going to show it throughout the entire 48 minutes. I think going into the series, that's how most of us would look at it. This was the most unexpected of results. I thought for sure that when it got back to Indy, it was over. They were going to mail it in, like just because they didn't want to get back on an airplane. They didn't want to get back on an airplane just to lose because that's what's going to happen.
But
maybe not. I don't know.
We forgot they had TJ McJordan.
And right.
That's the biggest thing that we didn't count for. They have TJ McJordan. They
TMJ.
Have Willis Reed walking out of the tunnel, just like, here comes Willis. And that's all they needed. They needed to see their captain and get the emotional boost from that. And then, of course, I mean, he played and ran and did all the things that you would expect him to do.
Yeah, your boy Halliburton gutted it out.
He did. See, this is I'm not going to allow this today. The slander on this guy. So we told this yesterday. I actually do remember this topic from yesterday. I don't usually remember the day before.
Wow.
He was in a no-win situation. If he plays and plays poorly, he'd have gotten killed. If he plays and he plays well, he'd have been called drama queen. And if he didn't play and he was hurt, he'd have been called soft. There was no successful night for him.
Well, he over-exaggerated, or the whole thing was over-exaggerated from the previous game. All you had to do was watch him run around in the third quarter. That's it. That was my point. So Shams with his breaking news and the diagnosis and the Willis Reed stuff. And then yesterday he was limping around a little bit after he missed like his first three shots on his wide open floaters. But what the key for Halliburton is if the heaves go in early.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If the 3-point heaves go in early and they started to fall for him, and then he could take off the entire fourth quarter and Tyrese was able to hit three threes. This was about the rest of the team. This was about the absolute balance. You saw all the guys at halftime with Siakam double-double. I thought Nesmith was fantastic. Nemhard, who I bet on, ended up with 17 points. And isn't TJ McJordan someone when you're watching saying to yourself, damn, I wish he was on my team. Yeah. I wish he was on my squad, as he was an absolute lightning bolt in the second quarter as they ended up being up 30 at halftime.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those, like, that's a really good, well-rounded player that every championship team you feel like needs to have coming off their bench. He also, like, I can't get over how much he looks like Danny from New Kids on the Block. That's starting to bug me. He was the bearded one.
Okay.
But it's I don't love that. But no, he is just, what he's shown here is that he's met the moment a few different times in the playoffs, even before this finals, where he is everything you need in terms of just well-rounded bench play and coming up big. And there was all these different memes last night of him, like, they superimposed him like boxing out Charles Barkley in a big game, or like, oh, look at him crossing up Hakeem Olajuwon or something. That's what he's bringing to the table. He's a little bit like, he's one part mascot, one part scrappy ball player, and another part just, you know, legitimately good.
Obi Toppin hit 4 threes.
Real name, no gimmicks.
With my Aaron Gordon comparison, he ended up scoring 20 off the bench. Here's the Pacers' final call.
Well, you can hardly ask for a better performance, particularly given the fact that if you didn't play well, your season would have ended.
Oh. JB, this team, just in case you didn't know, NBA Finals, Game 7, and they still have an opportunity to win a championship. How cool is that?
Man. Who's the cool color guy? I thought it used to be Quinn Buckner. He's too busy probably shining Michael's shoes and cutting his cigar exactly the way Mike wants.
I
don't know who it is.
I bet you, and I would guess they don't have it in the little archive that Peyton gets from, but I would bet you Pinto's call of the loss was, like, more intense. Like, he was probably like, "Did the Thunder have a chance to win a title on Sunday night?" Da-da!
I'm going to change my mind for the seventh time and be wrong on this series. I'm going to pick the Pacers.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to pick the Pacers in Game 7. All the pressure in the world is on Oklahoma City. And I just think Indiana has a few effort dudes. I think Nemhard and Nesmith, it's like, whatever, cold blood. I love Nemhard, man. He is a dude that I want on my team as a defender. I don't know how anyone ever dreamed to score against him in college when he was at Gonzaga. Siakam is an absolute monster. He's not going to be afraid of the moment whatsoever. I feel like whatever you get from Tyrese is going to be extra, some extra sprinkles on there. And now Shea and Jalen Williams, they have all the pressure on them. Caruso went scoreless. I bet on him like a dumbass. So he's not showing up as the best role-playing white boy in the series any longer. I just don't know how. I can't get Mavs Thunder out of my mind from last year, and just thinking about OKC in a Game 7 situation, I don't think we've had these huge, oh my God, that's Rick Carlisle out coaching the other guy's last name that I can't pronounce
Dagnall.
Maybe whatever. It shows up in this game, but I think a lot of people would give a Game 7 coaching edge to Carlisle, even though it hasn't been talked about a lot right now, but I'm going to go with Indiana on the road.
Man, see, the one thing that scares me about that is you're probably not going to get the role players on any to step up the way they did last night. And even McConnell may not play as well.
Haven't we said that, though, for 2 years with Indy? Like, they go into the playoffs. They've gotten bench production the last couple years. And Carlisle, again, when we talk about Carlisle's advantage, he is – I always felt like that was the biggest – one of the biggest advantages he gave Dallas when he was here was, like, knowing how to maintain and rotate the bench.
Well, I'm not worried about Toppin on the road. I think he's going to have steel resolve. I'm not worried about TJ on the road. Is Neesmith going to do anything? Is Benedict going to do anything? I don't know. Miles Turner has to get it going a little bit better. And then – just game seven, Sunday night, and I'm really looking forward to it. But this was a demolishing.
Yeah, this was.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Even though it was a 3-point game at the end of the first quarter, it still felt
OKC
like.
OKC was up 10-2 to start this game.
Yeah, it still felt like by the end of the first quarter, like, okay, OKC doesn't feel like themselves. And then we got in the second quarter, and it was over really fast. But this is. Do you know what the get in the door price is, according to ESPN, for this game seven?
It's Oklahoma City, so $99.
$1,006.
No way. Is it really?
Tickets as low as $1,006, wow, according to ESPN here. And I'm surprised. They still are not they're not giving Indy any credence. It's still, what, 8.5-point spread for Oklahoma City in Game 7?
That's lower, though, than it has been.
Yeah, it had been 10 or whatever.
In that building, yeah. A little lower.
Shay, on if the Thunder were thinking about that title before tip-off.
In the back of our minds, for sure. Now, we didn't play like it at all, and that's why the night went the way it did. We got exactly what we deserved, what we earned, and we have to own that. The way I see it is we suck tonight. We have to learn the lessons, and we have one game for everything we've worked for, and so do they, and the better team Sunday will win.
You guys going with OKC?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still think I do think OKC is more talented. If Indy wins this, again, it's like I said before the series started, Carlisle becomes like a little bit on that Popovich level, not to his coaching career, but where it's like, yeah, you can be as much of a jerk as you want because you coach the hell out of these basketball teams. And his reputation just becomes the guy who will get the most out of everybody. This would be too massively improbable. Or maybe,
yes,
maybe a better comparison is if you take the NFL, like Coughlin. He becomes Coughlin, who's kind of prickly and has these two miraculous runs.
Shea's scored over 25 in 14 of the last 18. And, you know, the game against Minnesota, the only one they lost, and he didn't play that much because it was a blowout, so they took him out. He only scored 14. I mean, if he has another game like this, like last night, he's gonna get heat.
Jalen Williams was minus 40.
40.
In 27 minutes?
You know,
so bad.
The future fun possible discussion on Carlisle is we always talk about Dirk's title against the Threedles. That was Carlisle's title too. What other coach would have these types of two? I think Coughlin is almost a perfect comparison against the Patriots. The New York Giant meatballs and never let me forget that. We beat the Patriots. We did it. I'm trying to think NBA-wise, who else would have two titles that were as rare in a surprise and in an upset? Larry Brown, he got the one. That was Pistons against the Karl Malone, Gary Payton Lakers.
Rudy's second was pretty improbable with the Rockets because they were, what, the 6 or 7 seed? They were low.
Yeah, and they won the year before.
Yeah, they had won the year before, but like they were thought, like, here comes the young Magic. They're going to get beat up, and they swept them. If you go over to baseball, Bochy had his couple improbable ones with the Giants, he had the improbable one with the Rangers. In fact, if you do two teams, it's probably Bochy. Yeah, because it's two different areas that he had done it, but...
Man, I mean, like, yeah, the NBA-wise, I mean, I think the Larry Brown one's it.
Because improbable teams just don't generally win like this in the NBA. It doesn't happen. You don't go on the miracle runs.
877-881-1053 for your official Game 7 pick. And let us know if you may be making that trip. I wonder how producer Ruben is feeling. If he's thinking about making that Oklahoma City trek for Sunday.
I was like, you're going to win Game 6. What are you worried about? And he kept going like this. He kept like zipping his lips fake on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. He's just like, I'm not jinxing anything, bro. So I'm sure he thinks we jinxed it because I think Choppy told him the same. Like, y'all are going to win. What are you worried about?
The Dallas Cowboys are bringing in two new defenders and one step forward, maybe two steps back for your Texas Rangers. What did you say?
I said two steps back. That's all
That's literally going nowhere.
Yeah, it's literally going nowhere.
Which is the good art.
Well, it's going backwards.
It's going backwards.
You take two steps back. just let me do the teases.
That's Paul next. Abdul song.
Next on the home of the Rangers and Cowboys, 105. You have spent too much time with Chris Arnold. That is next right here on 105.3 The Fan.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And the pitch by the southpaw swung on and slugged to deep right field. That is way back, and that one is way gone over the Ranger bullpen. A tape measure shot for Caglione, his first two career home runs, and the Royals lead 4-1.
Well, this kid had a day both up and down as the number six pick in his draft hits his first two major league home runs. Also had a couple lazy plays in the field, an easy drop in the outfield. Maybe I can give him the break at the plate, not running to first base. But Caglione helps the Kansas City Royals sweep your Texas Rangers by a final score of 4-1. And the Rangers, RJ, scored 5 in the 3-run series.
Yeah, just when we thought the offense may have been turning it around, they go out there and they kind of, you know, they lay a dud over the 3 games, and that was a that play in the outfield, that lazy just go get it play that Caglione had. That's a get you bench play. I mean, that really is. That's a get you bench play, and they didn't. I guess good for them that they didn't, but man, it was this was a lot to be desired for this Rangers offense this week.
And the first home run came at eye level with that pitch to him.
Yeah,
he went up and got it.
This is like every night it was somebody else's turn. It was like night one, it was Perez. Second game, it was Garcia. Then yesterday you had Caglione. But it's just and Saturday. I'm getting all mixed up on these days now.
Yeah.
Wednesday. See, I know. It's all messed me up now. Wednesday. Like Texas wasn't awful. Like, I mean, they had 12 hits. They were like 5-for-12 with runners in scoring position that day, and they put 3 runs on the board. It's just it was a classic throwback to everything we had come to expect from the Rangers offense, especially yesterday, which was just absolutely nothing, getting nothing out of the offense in that game.
And they had come in here losing 6 straight. Like, you had the Royals where you wanted them.
Mm-hmm.
You had them on the ropes, and then yesterday they had you on the no-hitter ropes.
Oh gosh,
blanking you through 5.
I really thought that was going to be. I thought we were going to get a no-hitter yesterday, because it just felt like one of those days from the Rangers offense where it's just like you don't have it together. This is a little concerning though. Now I know it's the offense is the big part of this, but this is Leiter struggling ever since he got the Bassett curse when Mike said he's becoming a superstar. Then you had Corbin. That was the first time he had allowed more than 3 runs in a start all year when he gave up 4 the other day.
I think we all knew that was kind of coming,
is,
right?
It is, but I mean, that does tell you, like, all right, Malley, before he went on the IL, he was starting to look a little rusty. Obviously, that may be because of the injury, but it does, now it's a little concerning because, well, these offensive performances are now being met with some pitching coming back down to earth.
Jacob DeGrom is your most stable thing.
Yes, he is. Yeah, and it's hanging by whatever doctor thread they put in there on that elbow. Yesterday with the pitching, like, that's a bullpen day, right? You know, you're hoping for the best.
And Lats was great.
Lats has done a tremendous job in that role when he's come in, you know, as either the opener or
longest outing of his career,
or right after. It's a bullpen game. You've got to get 5 to 6 guys to all be on. It's a very difficult thing. to me, the offense can be summed up in the fifth inning. They had two on. They had nobody out. They had walked both of them. And then you get, they're basically on four. They had first, second, nobody out. And in the next four pitches, they swung at three of them, and they're out of the inning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the vacuum, that's the offense right there for the year.
I'm done with the hope. You all can keep talking to me, and I'm talking about insiders, whether it's Thad Levine, whether it's Chris Young, whether it's Jared Sandler. Y'all can keep talking to me about, even though Jared does say that he thinks they should buy, this promotion from within, have at it. Go ahead. If a big move or two is not made, then I'm not getting excited in the second half of this season. That can come back to haunt me, but I'm tired. I'm tired of this.
I still think the same way, though. If they somehow, even if they don't make a move, and they somehow sneak in to the playoffs, I still feel good about their chances just because of the rotation, assuming they get healthy. If they don't get healthy, then forget it.
And they're fourth in the West now, seven games back.
Look, with this offense, seven games feels like 15.
Every team through the top four is on a losing streak. So they're lucky that Houston, Seattle, and the Angels. Jared getting ready to have to line up. Those Astros fans, they're reminding me in my mentions.
That's not cool, guys.
The armpit is five games up after Jared made the proclamation. Houston, guess what? You're not winning the AL West this year. They're five up.
When you say you need a move, you need a big move. You need like... You're saying you want middle of the order, like big bat.
Yes.
Like you can't just, you're not going to take like, oh, somebody who's a decent starter. You're saying like, in order to get excited, I need, bring me the Cliff Lee of batting like you did 15 years ago or whatever. Yes. It's got to be that. And that's the problem. It doesn't feel like anybody's out there like that exactly. Ozuna was the guy who it was like, if Atlanta goes sideways, you could get him.
We don't know. Like we sit here, we're doing sports talk radio. We're supposed to know all the names on the market. Like Devers just got dealt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now that thing fell apart, and a lot of that was his doing. But there will be a surprise trade. There's people available.
Always, always.
And you can overpay to make someone available too.
Sure. I mean, look, if you wanted to make Walcott available, you could open up all kinds of doors. Now, whether you want to do that or not, it's a completely different story. But I mean, you can. Everybody's tradable in the league. Everybody.
By the way, his strikeout to walk does not look super impressive at either level. But you know that this year we're now going on between the minors and the majors. It's 36 straight innings without an earned run allowed by Cole Wynn. He went 23 innings in AAA without giving up a run. He's done 13 so far in the majors. But I mean, he's not been touched at all.
Theoretically, you bounce back because you get the terrible Pittsburgh Pirates. They're 16 games back, 4-6 in their last 10. They're 30-46 in the Central. But who knows? Because you are going up against some pitching.
Yeah, you are.
Are they getting Skeens?
No, I think he pitched yesterday. Now the good news is, you might not be able. You might not be getting Denny Santana. He might be suspended.
Dude, Heaney pitched yesterday.
Well, they had a doubleheader, I think. It was either yesterday or the day before they had a doubleheader. But yeah, Santana's the fan that he's the pitcher that went at it with the fan yesterday.
Oh yeah, he swung on a fan.
He swung on a fan. So, he might not even be available.
Is he's a starter?
He was in the bullpen. He was in the bullpen.
I'm looking at the matchups. I am not seeing Skeens.
Yeah, it's Burroughs, Keller, Falter is what's listed on ESPN.
You could
I know I know Keller. Mitch Keller, I know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's right off 377.
Yeah.
I know Keller, too.
Mitch Keller, 4 ERA flat. Basically, he's 1-9.
So the Rangers get swept by Kansas City on this radio station. The Dallas Cowboys making some moves.
Yeah, they went ahead and made a couple UFL signings, which has become an annual tradition for them. And they've had success doing it.
The Turpin Invitational.
They got Kevontae Turpin. Then they got Brandon Aubrey. Brandon Aubrey, by the way, I guess that shoulder's looking okay. He threw out a first pitch for the Rangers this week, and shoulder looked fine. But yeah, they made two signings. They got Robert Rochelle, the cornerback, who had been previously with the Rams and the Chiefs, I believe. And then they got Perrion Winfrey, the defensive tackle, who was a fourth-round pick for the Browns, and after his rookie year was cut after he was being investigated for pulling a weapon on somebody. And so they went and got their two guys who are low-risk evaluations coming out of the UFL, two guys who played really well, Rochelle at corner, Perrion Winfrey at defensive tackle. I get it in the sense that they fit the mold of what they typically look for. because Rochelle's a fantastic athlete. He fits the athletic profile. They look for a corner. And Winfrey as a defensive tackle is a really like impressive three technique type of athlete. The kind of guy who gets upfield that Marinelli or Eberflus would typically love. Problem is, like, didn't we spend all of these offseason practices talking about the problems at corner where you did not have a nickel guy, so Bland was having to kick inside even though he didn't want to play there. And then a defensive tackle, you're still missing the one technique. You're still missing the run stuffer. Neither one of these do that. So it feels like you're just stacking more bodies onto a position without getting the exact narrow expertise that the team needs.
Yeah, I saw Clarence Hill ask him, why do they need another corner? And I think Shereen responded with, this is going to be more for special teams.
Which makes sense with Rochelle. Rochelle is, yeah, he's a special teams guy. He's never played inside. And so probably not something where he's expected to come in here and take over a starting role or anything like that. And one of the things you're seeing from the UFL guys a lot of times, Willie Harvey, who we had here in studio last year,
we had him.
He was a training camp star the first like 2 weeks. You okay, man?
Easy, Blake. Knock that microphone down.
He was a training camp star the first 2 weeks, and then he tapered off. And you're hearing from a lot of these UFL guys. We heard it from Turpin his first year. They're exhausted.
Yeah.
Because they played football year round. And so Rochelle, Winfrey, whatever you're able to get out of them is going to be gravy, but it's also like, how much can you reasonably expect to find a contributor out of that pile given they just finished playing a season?
Jair Alexander picks the Baltimore Ravens. Reportedly turned down more money elsewhere to team back up with Lamar Jackson from college, but it's a one-year, $6 million deal.
Dude.
Six.
Like, you absolutely offer that. If he had come to you and said, I'll do this for $6 million, like, you're like, okay.
Well, it's four with incentives up to six, I think, is what it is.
Even better.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. But it also, it does make you wonder when you look and go, like, 20 guys got paid more than him, even if he had the opportunity to make more money. Like, part of you goes, why are you, you know, you say, why couldn't Dallas have paid that? And then the other party probably looks at it and says, why were there not other teams just falling all over themselves to pay it?
Yeah, like, even if he's lost a step, though.
Well, the report is he turned down more.
No, I know. I was just saying, if he may have turned down more money, but I can't imagine he turned down, like, 12 to go play for four in Baltimore.
Yeah, let's just say it's 10. Like, even if he's lost a step and he's not worth, he's not a $20 million corner, I still think that's worth 10, right?
Shedeur Sanders is showing off his speed in the wrong way. Two different speeding incidents for Shedeur driving 100.
Yeah, so the latest one was 101 at a 60. This was around just after midnight.
And apparently his girlfriend was going 90. So they were like, it seems like they were drag racing.
Yeah. Yeah, she can't keep up. She couldn't keep up. But, you know, so they said
she's a girl driver.
That's right. So, you know,
kidding.
The good news here is that they said there was nothing else with this. So no alcohol, nothing like that. That's good. Cause you only break one rule at a time. That's the rule. Break one law at a time. Mm-hmm. But 101 out of 60, I've done this. What am I going to get mad at him for this? I mean, maybe he plays for Georgia.
It sounds like he qualified for it. This. They all do it. Like every young
humans?
Football, every human, yeah, but definitely every young football player in their new car after they get drafted does this. And like, I'm not saying it's good.
Except Zach Edey.
Well, yeah, Zach Edey goes 102 is what he went. He went a little bit above that.
But in a Kia Sorento.
In a Sorento.
That thing must have been rattling.
How? First of all.
Like, how did he fit in there?
I've seen some NBA players have the front seat taken out on some of their vehicles because he's 7'4". Like, there's no way he's fitting in a normal Sorento. No way. And that's a decent sized vehicle, but it's not like a Suburban size or a Expedition size.
There was a car going like 105 this morning that blew by me. And I don't know. I just get very like, yeah, you're not just going to blow by me. And so then like I start picking up speed really fast. And as I'm picking up speed and I'm hauling behind this car, then they made sure to just quickly flash on their police lights and then shut them back off. And I went, oh, okay, and then I backed off of them.
Yeah, Edey speeding himself.
Yeah.
In a Sorento. And then Shedeur with two different ones. He has come out and said, I made some wrong choices, made some wrong personal choices. I've learned.
Doesn't even require a statement to me. This is literally what every single player
does. I just want to know how Deion spins this. I want to know Deion hops on a podcast or does a reality filming and how he somehow prime time's this.
This was leadership. He was speeding to go take care of starving children in Cleveland. And
He wasn't drinking.
He'll flip it around like that.
All right, so there it is, a little Inside the Star around the NFL and a Rangers recap. Happy Friday from DFW Sports Station here on Sean and RJ. The Dallas Stars still don't have a replacement for Pete DeBoer, but they're starting to make some moves. What does it tell us? That we got a final concert ticket giveaway during the 720 Expressway to give you some laughs heading into the weekend as well, right here on DFW Sports Station. What moves are the Stars pulling off? Find out next.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tea Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tea Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tea Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972 Go Men's Tea or MensTeaClinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have one of our final concert ticket giveaways of the week. 7 o'clock hour. We want you to win it as part of the 6 a.m. club. Good morning, Metroplex. It's Sean, RJ, and Bobby on 105.3. The Fan will also have our final concert ticket giveaway in the 9 o'clock, either during or after Worst Take of the Week. But the Stars are making some moves. They don't have a Pete DeBoer replacement. They re-signed Matt Duchene, RJ Choppy, to a 4-year $18 million contract, $4.5 million per year. That will keep him here through the 28-29 season.
Yeah, look, it's a good value. You know, he might have been able to get a little bit more on the open market. He was comfortable here. That's good. I think he's a good player. He's a point-of-game guy. So you're getting value. That's the good. If you wanted to say there's a bad part, it's like, okay, are we just... I know they traded Marchment, and they got, a third to fourth. How much of the same team are you bringing back? Are you just running it back with the same crew, the same kind of crew? Could you have used this money with the Ben money to go blow out a Sam Bennett offer or an offer for some other player that's a free agent?
And I didn't get a lot of disappointment from the Tolos as Mason Marchment got dealt, and he seemed to be the whipping boy of the postseason with penalties, maybe even his mustache. He gets dealt to Seattle for a third and fourth round pick.
Right. So the value with Dallas him was, I mean, Stars. We were saying, you know, if you could package him and somebody else, could you go and get a big time player? His value was like that. It's a third to fourth. It's not going to be elite value. You're looking at just somebody to take on a contract to give you something back. So it's not a major deal. They could replace Mason Marchment. You could find him. You could find a lot of guys who are just going to take bad penalties. There's plenty of those out there.
I was honestly surprised. I thought, I know he hit his hours for the week, but I just honestly expected Reitman was just going to be here because he was like, oh, there might be an opportunity. I might get pulled in to do some talk on Marchment, and this is my chance.
He was sitting upstairs on his 95-degree balcony with the fiance. I believe I saw the pictures of. Meanwhile, a little fear, some terror from the Edmonton Oilers fan base after Connor McDavid sat in the season-ending presser.
So this is Connor asked about his future with Edmonton, and this is a pretty solid non-answer, non-committal answer.
As you said, yeah, it's only been a couple days since the season ended. You know, take some time to regroup, you know, talk to my agent a little bit and family and all that and make some decisions whenever that time comes. But There's no rush. No rush on anything like that.
And man, my my good friend is a huge Edmonton fan. He's on our little hockey group chat. And the deflection that he is given.
Is this the one who left the group chat?
No. Okay. No.
Did that guy ever apologize and admit that you were right?
No, absolutely not. But it's okay. It's all right. Yeah, this soft. He is.
Whoever that is, if you're listening, you're soft.
He is so deflecting that McDavid could even possibly consider leaving Edmonton. Couldn't possibly consider that.
He's got 1 year left on his deal. He's eligible to sign a new one on July 1st. And I'm like, what type of deal does Draisaitl have? He signed an 8-year, $112 million extent. Look at the money in hockey. 14 a year.
Yeah.
14 a year. These freaking NBA players are making 50 a year.
You have guys making 14 a year in the NBA are like 10th on the bench. Yeah. Crazy, right? And hockey, like 14 a year is going to be like the highest paid player in the league.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a different world.
So is it just not normal for, like, I feel like in the NFL, if somebody signs a deal when they're 20 years old, like Connor McDavid did, and they're not playing out 8 years of that and getting to the end of the contract if they're as good as he is.
In the NFL.
Yeah. Is that right. Is that normal in hockey for you to just go, yeah, well, you're just playing the whole thing out?
I think you're playing it out.
I was wondering why Vegas sent me McDavid and Draisaitl odds. I was like, whoa, where did this come from? From old Jimmy, no, this wasn't from Jimmy. This is sportsbetting.ag. It goes, just in case, these are the teams that McDavid would go to if he left. The New York Rangers are the favorites at 4-1. Then Toronto, Boston, the Blackhawks, the Knights, the Penguins, the Kings, the Panthers, the Avalanche, the Capitals, Dallas Stars down there at 20-1. Just in case something happened with Connor McDavid. And then they sent me Draisaitl odds as well. Like, they're just going to blow the whole thing up. We're just going to detonate this Dallas Stars style after we lost in the West Finals. It's the Bruins, Sharks, Penguins, Hurricanes. Just in case.
Wasn't that what Gretzky did, though? When they determined they wanted Gretzky out, he's like, all right, fine. I'll go willingly, but you're going to, like, send everybody with me that
yeah.
I want.
Yeah. I think Connor's from the Toronto area, so that the Maple Leafs make sense. But I just, if you're Edmonton, you can't get rid of Gretzky and McDavid. Like, you just can't do that as an organization. You would have the two best hockey players of the last half century, and you're going to trade them both?
It's almost like that country hasn't won a Stanley Cup in almost 40 years.
What happened? You guys want to do Kelsey Plum or ice?
Oh.
Ice. Let's do ice.
Wow, yeah. Here it comes. All right.
That tells me it should probably be Kelsey Plum.
Wow.
Dude, Peyton was all over this yesterday. It's like he had a police blotter at his house sending us all these updates. What happened with the Dodgers and ice yesterday?
Okay, so there's been a lot of stuff around social media.
This is a national story. This is on all the news networks.
Yeah, there's been a lot of stuff circulating the last few days about, so the Dodgers, the parking lot, people have been showing photos of these kind of just these white vans in and around the parking lot during the day, like way before the game. And they're saying that they're using the parking lot as a staging area for, like, hey, we're just parking our vehicles here before we go on ice vehicles, before we go on whatever our assignment is for the day. And then people started saying, boycott the Dodgers, F the Dodgers, blanky, blank, blank. And the Dodgers yesterday appears denied them entry into the parking lot or into the stadium. Then there was some confusion as to whether they were going to go into the stadium to try to do a raid on somebody or not. And that's where, like, I think some of the confusion got. But over the last few days, they had been using their stadium parking lot as a place to stage their vehicles beforehand.
Because my first reaction was, I didn't know you could just turn ice down and say.
Well, apparently it wasn't ice. It was that's one of their little. That's one of the things they're being very technical about. They're like, well, that was not ICE. That was U.S. Customs and Border Patrol. So that was not ICE. That was CPB or CBP. But then they were saying, yeah, that, like, basically we weren't even there for enforcement. This is the Dodgers, like, acting like we were there to do something that we weren't. This had literally zero to do with enforcement when we showed up there.
My brain is telling me not to believe the Dodgers in this situation, that maybe they're trying to win over a little fan base out there in Los Angeles. Yeah, look, I mean, it's a big... Like, if Ice was here downstairs and wanted to come up to La Grande, can we just say no? You're not.
Yeah, we'd have to say no, because we'd be like, Cheek doesn't even get in here for like 3 hours.
Jeez.
But it's a business decision. You're in L.A. Like, let's not be. You're in a blue dot. You can't hack off the red hat wearers in Texas.
Oh no, I mean that is like
you can't hack off
the recurring favor.
Yeah, you can't hack off the PR hair in L.A.
But do they have the power to say no? If it was no,
I would think not.
Ice, right?
Yeah, I would think not. But without a warrant, maybe they do. I don't know.
I guess without a warrant, they could say it's trespassing. Just be like, we're not allowing you in the stadium. We don't have to allow you in. But yeah, I mean, you're right that if you're going to talk about a fan base in sports that maybe has to win on this issue more than any other, it might be the Dodgers, because the Dodgers are just, it is such a heavy Hispanic like fan base. I mean, that was the whole big thing with Fernando Valenzuela when he had come up,
for sure,
was that Valenzuela was like, oh my gosh, we got representation, and it was huge for the Dodgers in the 80s of just like, all right, you felt like the Latin community was being represented. So this is something that for sure I think is something they feel like they need to win.
Oh, they need a police presence inside the stadium for Dodgers Padres as Shohei was on the mound again. They went at each other.
Oh, I didn't see that.
It's on TV right now.
Yeah, no, but I didn't see his final stat line.
Is he on the mound today? I thought you wrote about Shohei on the mound again.
Yeah, he's going back on the mound. I didn't think it was last night.
Okay, maybe it is
Sunday. It's Sunday.
Okay.
It's Sunday. So there
it is with my days.
See, yes.
I thought
exactly.
Yesterday was Sunday.
Yeah. So they're not taking a ton of time between starts. They're treating this kind of like it appears a spring training schedule where like he pitches, he got an inning, and then the next time out, maybe he gets two innings, depending if his pitch count is you know, like if he throws 30 pitches in the first inning again on Sunday, he's probably not going to get run out there for the second inning. But if he has a normal 15 to 20 pitch inning, he'll go out there, let him go in to the dugout, get his 12 minutes of rest between innings, and then see how he feels as he goes back out there. So they're taking a slow approach, which is probably smart.
Yeah, because I mean, it just feels like they're going to treat his starts like bullpen days for now. Mm-hmm. Where it's just like, all right, go out there, give us one or two innings, and then we'll turn to the bullpen. But I mean, what was the first game he did against the Padres? It was like 30 pitches in the first inning that he went out there. He had to work.
It was 28.
And
yeah, it was
so,
28.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're not going to send him down, right? You're not sending him down to the minors to get ready, because then you lose his bat.
Yeah. 877-881-1053 in order to hit us up on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line on your home of the Cowboys and Rangers. Your Texas Rangers, of course, get swept by the Kansas City Royals, back in action against the Pittsburgh Pirates. We got a concert ticket giveaway here on the 720 Expressway. We'll clean up the junk drawer to give you some laughs heading into the weekend. Below the belt, worst take at 9, and a final concert ticket giveaway in the final hour of the program. How surprised are you, like us, that the NBA Finals are continuing? And who do you have for Game 7 on Sunday night? Plus the early reports from the Cooper Flagg dinner and workout that Cooper apparently demanded. He's like, no, I am working out. The Cooper Flagg latest with the NBA draft next week and NBA Finals Game 7 next on Sean and RJ.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.